Hare Krishna everyone. Today we'll have 6th chapter summary presentation by Praveen Prabhu and Navya Mataji. So they're very nicely prepared, so we are eager to hear from them, their realizations. So let's start. Is the lighting okay?
It's not much.
Should I stop that one?
Something behind you, it's here.
It's okay? Yeah.
Hare Krishna everyone. Thank you for giving me opportunity for presenting the summary. We didn't make it in very advance, so we were working until last minute also, so let's see how it goes, but we'll try to present as much as we can for our understanding. So we are doing this 6th chapter summary, which is Dhyana Yoga. So there are six sections in this chapter. In chapter 5, Krishna explained how to achieve liberation through Nishkama Karma Yoga. So at the end of the chapter, he explained how to achieve the same liberation through Ashtanga Yoga, practicing of Ashtanga Yoga. So that was said at the very end, and this chapter explains the in detail about Ashtanga Yoga. And although we have to see that although it is said Ashtanga Yoga is recommended in this 6th chapter, the Lord emphasizes that the process of Karma Yoga or acting in Krishna consciousness is better. At the end of the chapter you will see that. This is what we were learning through all the Srila Prabhupada's purports, which we were keenly observing what is the parallel between Ashtanga Yoga and Bhakti Yoga or the Krishna consciousness that we are practicing. So we were, through Srila Prabhupada's purports, we were seeing a parallel between whatever practices are done in Ashtanga Yoga and how those practices are being fulfilled in Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. So that we will see in this chapter mainly. So these are the 6 sections. The first section is the overview of Ashtanga Yoga. For verses 5 to 9 deals about mind control, and 10 to 32 it's details about Ashtanga Yoga. Then 33 to 36, there is a discussion on why is controlling the mind is necessary. And 37 to 45, Krishna talks about destinations of an unsuccessful yogi. And 46 to 47, Krishna declares who is the topmost yogi. So, in the first section, we wanted to say, Krishna says about what is Ashtanga Yoga. So Ashtanga Yoga is a means to control the mind and senses. And however, it is told that this is very difficult for people in general to perform. Especially in Kali Yuga, it is very difficult. In Ashtanga Yoga, the yogi tries to control the mind by withdrawing the senses by following the eightfold yoga system, which is shown here. Those are the eight steps in the Ashtanga Yoga. That's why it is called Ashtanga Yoga. There are 8 steps in that. It is said in Ashtanga Yogi, however he tries to practice this yogic process to attain self-realization by realizing the super soul within. But he still does these restraining the senses and stopping mind from doing the stopping himself by not doing material activities. All these steps, although he does, but he still has some kind of desire in him that he has to self-control. So that's where the yogic process ends in Ashtanga Yogi. There is still some desire. But when you come to sannyasi, there is no desire for sense gratification. So that is the key primary difference between a practitioner of Ashtanga Yogi and a sannyasi. We came to know, learn that a Krishna conscious person is both a yogi and a sannyasi, because the focus is also that everything is centered around Krishna. So he doesn't have a desire for his sense gratification. He is always focused on pleasing Krishna. So we say that Krishna conscious person is both a yogi and a sannyasi. And also in Ashtanga Yogi, Ashtanga Yoga, there are two stages. One is Yoga Rurukshu, and which is the first stage in Ashtanga Yoga. Those come up to the steps, up to asana, like Yama, Niyama, Pranayama, Asana, Pratyahara. And then from Dhyana, Dharana, Samadhi is Yoga Ruda. That is the second stage of Ashtanga Yoga, yogic process. Going to the next slide, we'll discuss about the next section, which is mind control. Verses 5 and 6 discuss about the reason to control the mind. Verses 7, 8 and 9 discuss about the symptoms of a person who have controlled the mind. So a conditioned soul must elevate by himself by his own mind. If mind is not properly controlled, then it can degrade him. A mind is both a friend as well as an enemy. A pure soul is entangled in the material world because of the mind's ego, which desires to lord over the material nature. So a mind is both a friend and an enemy here. You can see in the picture, it's like an enemy, and with a Krishna, is the friend which helps him to uplift him towards the self-realization. So here, mind plus sense objects, we say it is a bondage. So if mind is attracted to sense objects, sense gratification, it creates bondage with the material world. And if the same sense gratification is taken out, the mind helps to get attain liberation for the soul. But it is also said, like, if you have mind engaged in Krishna consciousness, then it is the supreme liberation, which we all know. Like, it's the primary aim for every Krishna conscious devotee to go to Goloka. So that is the supreme liberation. If a mind is engaged in devotional service. Then we talk about the symptoms of person on Yoga Ruda stage, that is the second stage. In the second stage, the person is Paramatma Samhita. He follows the dictations of the Paramatma or the Super Soul, and he is not influenced by dualities of material existence, which is like heat, cold, happiness, distress, those dualities are not affected to him. And he is also Kutastha Vijita Indriya. He is self-controlled and situated in transcendence, which is called Samadhi. So he is self-controlled and situated in transcendental bliss. And the next characteristic of a person in Yoga Ruda stage is Samabuddhi, which is equanimity. He treats everybody equal. And in our class, we were discussing about why mind control, like what are the different things that we can do to control the mind, which we primarily discussed as chanting Maha Mantra, ignoring or tolerating the urges of the mind, hearing from devotees, associating with them, developing gratitude and humility, And Mataji was mentioning about humility is the crest jewel of devotional service. So it is the main characteristic that we all have to imbibe to control the mind at least. And then we have one other way is engaging in kirtan, engaging in austerities, adhering to the instructions of spiritual master and superiors, and trying to preach also helps us to control the mind. So also Krishna explains in the verses that as long as one's mind remains unconquered enemy, one has to serve the dictations of lust, anger and illusion. Supreme Lord or Krishna or the demands of, so he has to either serve the demands of material Maya or the Krishna. So he is either servant of Maya or Krishna. So if he is with Maya, it is attachment to the material world. And if he attached to the Krishna, it is a liberation for him. So next slide, we will go to the next section, which is the details of Ashtanga Yoga. In the details of Ashtanga Yoga, Krishna went in detail about like different things about how. Okay, in this section, Krishna describes the practices of Ashtanga Yoga, basic practices of yoga, which are carefully controlling his mind. The successfully yogi engages his mind, body and self in Krishna's service. And it also talks about where to sit while practicing yoga, and what are the different stages, what are the different stages that, what are the different experiences that a person in a yoga ruddha stage experiences. When he fixes the mind in samadhi, he regulates his habits. By his pure mind, devoid of material desires, he sees and enjoys the self. Those are the main characteristics of a person in yoga ruddha stage. So he doesn't have material desires, and he also sees and enjoys the self. That means he gets self realization. So he gets attracted to the super soul. Obtaining the perfectional stage through controlling one's mind, one must determinedly practice yoga by abandoning all mental and sensual desires. Gradually, by the strength of intelligence, the yogi fixes his mind on the self. A further progress in mind control is when the mind wanders, the yogi returns it to the self. By fixing his mind upon Krishna, the yogi attains his qualitative identity with the Supreme and engages in Krishna service. So when Ashtanga Yogi, when he is perfect, he sees Krishna everywhere. Krishna is never lost to him, or is he ever lost to Krishna. Such a yogi, knowing that the super soul and Krishna are one, sees the true equality of all beings and thus acts for the welfare of all. So Ashtanga Yogi at the end sees all beings equally. Next. The next section talks about necessity to control mind. Arjuna says the mind is chanchala, pramati, balavat, dridam. Those are restlessness, mad, strong, obstinate. So Arjuna asks Krishna, like he himself cannot control the mind because of these characteristics. Then he inquires Krishna whether it's possible for an Ashtanga Yogi to control the mind. And to his answer, so So the Lord says that control of the mind is needed and is possible only through constant practice and detachment, which we see in verses 35 and 36 that is explained. So suitable practice and detachment. So what is the practice for this current age? We know like Arjuna himself is very very strong person, and he is a very big warrior, and he comes from the royal family, and especially he is a close associate of Krishna, but he still expresses that he cannot control the mind. And Prabhupada in his purport, he is telling about it is still more difficult for a person in Kali to control the mind. But Prabhupada says that practicing of Krishna consciousness will help to achieve this goal of detachment. So thus controlling the mind. So there are nine types of devotional service that Prabhupada talks about: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam and Atmanivedanam. These are the nine processes of devotional service that Prabhupada talks about, by practicing which we will be able to control the mind. And out of this, Prabhupada especially quotes that hearing is the foremost important step in this devotional service. And also here, so that's okay. So of these nine processes, hearing is the foremost of such devotional engagements. Very powerful. Hearing with a desire to hear about Krishna is needed. By constant hearing, you get deeper realizations. Reading is also treated as hearing. So reading as much as we can is as important as hearing. And also in this section, we should also the Krishna talks in such a way that he is endorsing Dhyana or Ashtanga Yoga in these verses from 35 to 36 and 36, but he is not actually endorsing this, but he is endorsing the base underlying principles of this Ashtanga Yoga, which are Abhyasa, which is a suitable practice, Vairagya, detachment, and Paresanubhuti, which is spiritual satisfaction achieved by positive attachment of service. So the underlying principles are mostly stressed in these verses as a means to achieve devotional service and thus the self-realization. And in these verses, it is also talked about an analogy between how mind is treated as a driving instrument of a chariot. Like intelligence is the driver, mind are the reins, the senses are the five horses, body is the chariot, and the soul is the passenger who is driving that. So this is an example analogy given in Katha Upanishad, whereby we can understand how these senses are controlling, how intelligence can control the senses through the reins of the mind, and we can see the soul is so afraid of traveling in the chariot. When the mind is not controlled, which means like we are going after sense gratification, this is what the state of our soul is. I also said about realizations about this particular analogy. So whenever I feel like my mind is like not controlled, so we I can focus on this example, particular example, and say and separate out all the different entities like senses, mind, intelligence, soul, and body. So we can, by visualizing this analogy, you can try to disaggregate our thoughts into these five categories. That way we can have a clear understanding of the situation and try to focus on Krishna, and then we can have a right guidance from Krishna. So this is one thing that I felt, so I have wrote put this also in our realizations. And the next come, Prabhupada, in his purports, he was explaining a parallel between Ashtanga Yogic process and Bhakti Yoga process. These are the different characteristics. I took from Amritananda Prabhu's material, but this comes from Gauranga Priya Prabhu. There are different characteristics. I will not go into the detail, but I will send the presentation so you can go through this, which we already discussed on this. So this I thought it's very nice to have in a table or something that we can quickly look into. So those are the different practices comparing Ashtanga Yogi and Bhakti Yogi. So we were talking about eating, sleeping, how we have to limit eating and sleeping, and what are the rules for Ashtanga Yogi, what he has to do. So those things are here. So we can go to the next one, which Navya will do it after this.
Hare Krishna. Now I will talk about the last two sections, which starts from sixth chapter, 37 to 45. In this, Arjuna asks Krishna about the he has a couple of questions, despite of a constant endeavor, one may fail for many reasons, because yoga chalita manasa, that means deviation from the transcendental path. And the second one is, what happens when an aspiring transcendentalist fails? His position is like a riven cloud. He can neither enjoy material happiness nor spiritual success. So these are the questions asked by Arjuna to Krishna. What happens to this kind of situation, unsuccessful yogi? Then Krishna answers verse 45. Krishna answers to these questions in verse 40. Krishna answers that a yogi's effort never wastes, because yogi does auspicious activities. There are three kinds of people who do auspicious activities, like karmis, jnanis, and bhaktas. These auspicious activities are those which lead one to liberation. The activities that are not leading to self-realization or liberation are not auspicious. Bhaktas are the people who will do all these auspicious activities, include self-realization. In the next slide, we'll see that how short time practiced yogi benefits, and how long term practiced yogi benefits. In this, we can see the yogi who falls after a short period of practice goes to a higher planet after prolonged life there. Gets a chance to born in a righteous Brahmana Vaishnava family or aristocrat merchants. One who gets this chance should take the advantage of the facilities and try to elevate themselves to full Krishna consciousness. And when the yogi who falls after having a long practice of yoga will be given an opportunity to take birth in a family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom, like Srila Prabhupada and his guru Srila Bhaktivedanta Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. In this way, these kind of births are very rare in the world, especially in this Kali Yuga. After this, Krishna told that in verse 6.43 to 4.5, he explained that even though they take birth, they need to struggle to make their path success. In this way, he is saying, after one is born either in righteous aristocrat or sacred family, he will then automatically become attracted to yogic principles even without seeking them. Then after rigorous practice, he will attain the supreme goal. He need to practice more and until he reaches the goal. In the next slide, it shows that in this slide, Krishna is declaring the Bhakti Yoga is the topmost yogi. To know Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead and one who surrender unto Him is a successful transcendentalist. To reach this goal with Brahman and Paramatma realization, one should take birth after birth. This process is a big and risky. So, Bhakti Yoga is the direct and topmost path. In this way, Krishna is telling that Bhakti Yoga is the easiest and topmost yoga system. So, when compared to Ashtanga Yoga. Practical applications and realizations. As we go through the class, we discussed about practical applications of what we can do in this age, and what we realized. We kept some points here. First one is austerities. We talked in the class the small austerities eating less, eating limitedly, and sleeping limitedly, and hearing a lot about Krishna and everything, and doing some fasting on Ekadasis and chanting 16 rounds every day. These are the simple austerities which will help a lot. And knowing the strength of Maya. The second thing is knowing the strength of Maya. We are in such a position that we don't know that Maya is impacting us very much in each and every step. We need to know about how Maya affects on us, and we need to hear about Maya so that we can act in such a way. And we need, in this situation, we can't do anything because Maya is so strong. The only thing we can do is we need to pray to Krishna, beg or pray Supreme Personality of Godhead to give us some strength and knowledge to progress in the devotional service. One more thing is, according to 6.41, we got to know that this is we all are short period practitioners of yoga in our past life, so that's why I think we got a chance in this life to know about Krishna, and now we need to work hard to achieve the supreme goal, as it said in 6.41, and then we need to treat ourselves as that we are in like that, and we need to treat our kids and family in the same way that they came here to achieve the supreme goal. In that way, we need to help them each and every day how to reach Krishna and devotional service is a curing, is like curing a disease by expert treatment and appropriate diet for the mad mind. And one more thing is like we need to preach people by setting, by showing us like example. Like we need to set an example. We need to practice before we, so that the people can see us and they can know what we are doing and something. Mm. You want to share the
other two? The next one, as I was saying in before, that meditating on that analogy of soul, body, intelligence, mind and senses, that I think really helps to understand various concepts that we go through, like controlling the mind and like how everything is related to each other. So that's one thing that I think is very nice to meditate upon. The other thing is igniting fire and pouring water on it. It is said by Prabhupada one of the purports that practicing yoga and having a material enjoyment is just like igniting fire and pouring water on it. So it is also similar, like even if we take at this current stage, if we take up Krishna consciousness, if we just are not serious in practicing Krishna consciousness, it's like you are igniting fire, but like you are not serious in practicing it, then it's again watered down. Mm. So it's like when we just take this path, I think like we have to focus and take the instructions seriously and practice that. So that is one other thing that I had. So we wanted to acknowledge Mataji and Prabhuji, and also the various material that I pulled this pictures and material from. So we thank them very much for giving us this opportunity. Thank you for all of you for patiently listening. I am not sure how how we have presented we obviously we have not prepared very well, like we should not have been reading them. Probably we have to see the slides and read them, but like it was a very last minute effort, I guess. So we hope to do it better in the next, if we are given again chance.
So, in these realizations, I want to add this point, like we think that we have lots of time, but now I got to know that we don't have any time. We need to rush to do the things. So this is the life, we need to work hard so we can reach Krishna.
So any discussions, realizations of you people like want to share, that would be good. I think Mataji will cover more what we have missed, I think.
Any points you want to share from whatever you heard from 6 chapters? Something for us to think about? Some striking points which you wanted to apply yourself?
Mm-hmm.